Hi, and welcome to Failureology, a podcast about engineering failures. I'm your host, Nicole.
And I'm Brian, and we're both from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Welcome to our 32nd mini-failure episode.
We're bringing you engineering failures in bite-sized pieces.
Make no mistake, though. These are still significant failures, but they either have pretty straightforward causes or not enough information for a full episode of Failureology.
These episodes are also just the failure, no news, and no ads, for now at least.
It's like Failureology Lite.
This is our last mini failure for 2020. 2 weeks from now will be December 25th, which is crazy that we're here already. Happy holidays to all of you, whatever you're celebrating, including all of the Grinches out there.
During this period of time, I personally celebrate not moving from the couch for as long as I possibly can. Where we live, it is usually very cold, it is very snowy, and I'm kind of tired by that point of the year, so I do not want to do anything, I do not want to see any people, so I just hang out on the couch. It is great.
I also do a lot of that as well. There's usually a lot of things leading up to Christmas, which is what myself and my family celebrate. But then once that's over, it's couch time until the new year, which is great. It's one of my favorite parts of the holiday season, is not interacting with any other human beings. I'm an introvert. I'm an extroverted introvert, but at heart I am an introvert and I do value my alone time.
Which I think is the definition of being introverted, of how you recharge. I feel introverted people, they figured out how to fake it for the 9 to 5 or for the job portion of things, or at least a lot of them have. And then once they're done work, it's like, please do not talk to me until tomorrow morning. And if you don't talk to me tomorrow morning, that is fine too.
Yes. But I say I'm an extroverted introvert because I do enjoy socialization just in smaller pieces. You know, COVID lockdowns were where the introverts really thrived, I think, as unfortunate as that whole time was.
I was actually just thinking that this morning, where I was like, oh no, Christmas and holiday time is here. I'm going to have to go hang out with all the people and do all the obligations. During the COVID restrictions, I basically had a built-in excuse of, oh, sorry, can't go out, you know, COVID restrictions. And it was pretty great. I thoroughly enjoyed some portions of the COVID restrictions, obviously not some other ones. But yeah, this year, yeah, like Nicole mentioned, now there's not really a built-in excuse. You have to go through all the holiday time obligations now.
It's not really that bad. But I hear what you're saying. We do also want to say thank you for all of the support you've given us this year. We really appreciate your support. Thank you for joining our Patreon page and becoming a failureologist with us and nerding out with us every week on these engineering failures. We look forward to bringing you more failures coming up in 2023. We, of course, have a long list of failures. So many, we're trying to get to them all, but I don't think we'll ever run out, unfortunately. Fortunately for us, unfortunately for society, I don't think we'll ever run out. So we're just going to keep plugging away and doing our thing. So thank you for supporting us.
On that note, though, if there is a failure you want to see us cover, either as a regular episode or a bonus episode or a two-part episode, please drop it in the comments. We're always on the lookout for more content. The social media contact information, it's at the end of every show. It's on the website. Get in touch with us. One of us will get back to you.
This episode, in fact, came as a listener recommendation, and it was a great one at that. I don't know if I can out you, but you know who you are. Thank you for this recommendation. This one wasn't on my radar, and it's a great one to talk about, a great failure to talk about, and it's also definitely within theme of environmental disaster. So thank you for mentioning it. This was really interesting to research, and this episode's going to be a fun one. Well, in a really unfortunate way.
So on to this week's mini failure. This week's mini failure is about PFOA or C8 contamination, otherwise referred to as the DuPont scandal. In the late 1990s, attorney Robert Billott filed a lawsuit against DuPont alleging chemical waste, specifically perfluorooctanoic acid. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm pretty sure I'm saying it right.
You did a really good job.
Why, thank you.
That was the first time, guys. Sometimes we have to re-record the hard words. That was the first time. He nailed it.
Right before this episode, I did listen to a YouTube video where there's 15 people saying perfluorooctanoic acid. So I like to think it was in the back of my mind how to say it. Normally, I have to re-record the word like 4 times, 5 times, sometimes 7 or 8 times. This time, first time, every time.
Some words are hard. This is a long word. It's hard.
So perfluorooctanoic acid, it's more commonly referred to as PFOA or C8. And PFOA had fouled the property of a cattle rancher in West Virginia by the name of Wilbur Tennant, was the cattle rancher. PFOA, it's known as a forever chemical, and it's linked to higher incidence of cancer, specifically testicular and kidney cancer, by the International Agency for Research on Cancer, or the IARC, and it is classified as a group 2B carcinogen. So for comparison's sake, lead, chloroform, gasoline, they're also on the group 2B list, so generally not stuff that you should be ingesting.
Fun fact, I don't know if any of you know this, but alcoholic beverages and tobacco smoking are group 1 carcinogens. So that's the worst group to be in. And alcohol and tobacco are both in it, which I did not realize until well into adulthood. But bad. Those are bad things for you.
Also among the list of 6 categories of serious illness are thyroid cancer, preeclampsia, ulcerative colitis, and high cholesterol. PFOA is believed to be in the blood of almost every living creature on the planet, including 99.9% of humans.
Blotz cases have been featured in many newspapers, a book, and even a movie. The movie is called Dark Waters. It was released in 2019, starring Mark Ruffalo and Anne Hathaway. Fun fact, it's on Netflix in Canada if anyone wants to watch it. I watched it today just minutes before recording this episode. It was so great. I don't know why it hasn't popped up on my radar before. I'm a big fan of the Aaron Brockovich movie, and this one gave me similar vibes.
Nicole, you and I have far different favorite movies, because Aaron Brockovich would not even make my top 20, top 50, top 100 list of favorite movies.
I think I just really like the David and Goliath story, but I also like the mystery and the whodunit aspect of it and the lawyer twist to it. You know, I grew up watching Law and Order, so I think it just has a lot of different things that I enjoy. So this movie was no different. I really enjoyed it. I would highly recommend it. I also wanted to mention, because I found it in the research that I was doing, and I thought you guys might want to know about it because you're probably podcast fans like me. There's a 30-minute radio program that airs weekly in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and New York, but you can also find those radio episodes on their podcast, and it's called the Allegheny Front, which is Pennsylvania's environmental news podcast, and you can get it, from what I can tell, wherever you get your podcast. We're not affiliated with them at all. I literally just discovered this podcast a few hours ago, around the same time I found the movie, but decided to watch the movie instead. I do have the podcast saved in my library, and I will go check it out later. But like I said, I haven't listened to it yet. From the show notes, it looks like they cover a number of environmental issues throughout Pennsylvania, including the DuPont scandal, but it's not exclusive to the DuPont scandal. So if you're interested in more on this type of thing, check that show out. Let me know what you think.
Yeah, and certainly Pennsylvania had a number of Superfund sites that have led to some fairly significant environmental disasters and concerns. So it sounds like it's a really interesting podcast to listen to. Back to our episode on this podcast of the DuPont scandal. So a 2001 class action lawsuit alleges that DuPont's actions caused widespread water contamination in West Virginia and Ohio, leading to high cancer rates and other health problems amongst 80,000 people living nearby. So DuPont, they did settle this lawsuit in 2005 for $235 million to cover medical monitoring for over 70,000 people. In 2017, after undergoing a merger of Dow Chemical and EI DuPont to Namors & Company, they are now known as Dow DuPont, or commonly shortened to DuPont, with spin-offs of Dow Incorporated and Corteva. As of 2017, DuPont had settled over 3,500 lawsuits for almost $700 million. That said, they deny any wrongdoing. They've also paid $16.5 million in fines to the Environmental Protection Agency. And the University of Massachusetts publishes a list of toxic 100 air polluters. The 2021 report, based on 2019 data, lists DuPont at number 66. Their associate company, Dow Inc., as number 6. The top polluter on the list is Boeing, with a toxic score almost double the second place corporation.
So what did DuPont do that was so bad? Story goes that they manufactured Teflon, a plastic material that until 2015 was made from PFOA. It was developed during the Manhattan Project in the 1940s for military use and later transitioned for commercial use in the early 1960s. PFOA is also used in stain-resistant fabrics and some food wrappers. Exposure to PFOA is linked to several diseases, as Brian has talked about. And leaked internal documents from DuPont themselves allegedly show that they knew about the dangers of PFOA exposure as early as 1961, and that they knew as early as 1984 that the chemical was in the local water supply of the Ohio River by way of dust from the factory chimneys, as well as other waste removal methods that led to this chemical in the water stream. But they didn't tell workers or the surrounding public. So similar to asbestos, the asbestos industry that we talked about in the last episode, DuPont also was well aware of the dangers of their product and was making so much money that they didn't want to lose that they hid that information, hid the dangers from the public so that they could continue to profit from this chemical. The Ohio River originates in Pittsburgh at the convergence of the Monongahela River and the Allegheny River and flows into the Mississippi River south of St. Louis some 1,500 kilometers later. And as we know from previous discussions on this podcast, the Mississippi River flows all the way south into the Gulf of Mexico. So it is possible that these chemicals are making their way all the way from the Ohio River into the Gulf of Mexico, probably in significantly smaller concentrations because it is so much further down the line, but still possible. Further EPA testing has found PFOA in 12 water systems in 10 counties throughout Ohio, Kentucky, and West Virginia. As per a 2004 study by an industry risk assessor, ChemRisk Inc., which was hired by DuPont, the plant released over 1.7 million pounds of PFOA between 1951 and 2003.
So there you have it. PFOA has been poisoning living creatures in the Ohio River Basin for decades. One brave lawyer took on a huge corporation in this real-life David and Goliath story. It will take many more decades to clean up the water supply and undo the damage that has been done, if that is even possible.
Thanks for listening to this mini-failure episode. For our regular episodes, check out Failurology wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to chat with us, our Twitter handle is @Failurology. You can email us at thefailurologypodcast@gmail.com. You can connect with us on LinkedIn, or you can message us right in the Patreon app. And there's links to all of these in the show notes. Bye, everyone. Talk soon, and see you next year.